Good morning, everybody. This morning, but we continue on our journey through and looking at Romans 12. Last week, Richard spoke on verses 4 and 5 about the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Wonderful. There's the body of Christ in Rugeley. And just to remind you, the verses that Richard brought to us, for just as each of us have one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Richard spoke about our shape, who we are, our spiritual gifts, H, our hearts, A, of course, our abilities, P, our personalities, and of course, E, our experiences. He reminded us of having a heart like that of Jesus, which was covered by Mick Nash the week earlier. And it was all being like a jigsaw of shapes and stories and misshapen parts that together make a beautiful picture. He spoke of our one anothering and that we are all a work in progress and still under construction. He also pointed out that we all need each other, and especially that in fact we are all connected and we actually belong to each other. And then illustrated it like this, with a few members of the congregation stood out at the front who linked and joined arms and formed a closely linked chain. Now, I found that quite poignant because I'd prepared or started preparing for this morning, best part of 3 weeks ago I started looking, and I was getting a vision in my head of being joined, being linked together. And over the 2 weeks that I'd had a look at that images, I thought in my mind before I saw that Richard bringing God's word and demonstrating it that way, he didn't need me to do it anymore, that I could move on. And I thought that God had used Richard rather than me to actually project this concept, and that he didn't need me to actually show you this. How wrong could I have been? I've had this reinforced even stronger over the last week. So I'm going to try and convey to you some of the images, because I'm a visual person in here. Some of the images that he's been giving me over the last week in particular, how we are all connected. And take this concept a step further. I've visualized chains like Richard, which can be strong, but can also break. And then I thought of wire. Wire in multiple strands. And there's a diagram here. Each one is a separate strand of wire, all wound or bound together, closely bound together, in fact, so strong that they're used to support suspension bridges. And they can carry immense, incredible weights. That's one under construction. And this one I know quite well. Some of you may recognize it. Believe it or not, I couldn't believe this when I just looked out of curiosity. This was actually opened in 1981. It was built. The building commenced in 1972. I saw that grow from pillars in the Humber Bridge. This is the Humber Bridge. And you are looking north towards Yorkshire. Well, I'm from the other side. I'm from Lincolnshire. And I was on the doorstep seeing this produced. And you've got strands of wire, very fine strands, all linked and bound together that support the whole of this bridge to either side. And I thought, wire, strands. And there's one, another one. I spent a lot of time working in Bristol. Some of you may recognise this. This is the Clifton Suspension Bridge. And I saw this on the internet. I thought, well, that's interesting. And then I saw that one. And I thought, wow, that's even more interesting. It's the same bridge, but with a hot air balloon so close. How it missed the bridge, I really don't know. And that reminded me of actually a conversation I had only a few years ago in a hot air balloon with the pilot. I had one of my presents when I left work and retired. My colleagues bought me a flight in a hot air balloon. I went to Trenton Gardens and got in this balloon, and naturally you talk to the pilot, well, at least I did anyway, and he started telling me about it. And one of the things that impressed me, he talked about the fabric, how light and strong it was. And I thought about, fabric, yeah, okay. We moved on to fabric. And this is an example of a modern, tightly knitted together fabric. It's used to manufacture very strong, lightweight, composite carbon fibre materials and constructions. often used in car and aircraft manufacture. Very lightweight, very strong, very tightly knit, closely together fabric. And then also I thought about what other things have we done going back in the centuries, and this one came to mind, which you'll see all over Derbyshire in the Peak District in particular, but elsewhere in the country, dry stone walling. A classic but unusual example of one here. Note that every single stone is different in shape and size. And the dry stone waller has even been extremely artistic in using these stones, because if you can see, he's used different colours and textures to set the shape of a tree, actually the wall itself. Again, look how closely and intricately each and every stone has been fitted into place. Quite a masterpiece, really, isn't it? But dry stone walling goes back centuries. Then I thought of my masterpiece. And, of course, visualise, I look at, and spent a lot of part of my life looking at technical drawings. The real one looks like that. A real classic. But believe it or not, that's over 40 years old. That bike came out in the early, late 1960s and was in production until the mid-1970s. The Honda 754. When they built them, the comment was, they'll never last. Well, you can go to the classic bike show at Stafford and see them looking exactly like that, and they're over 40 years old. But of course, my mind thinks further. This is what they look like on the inside. This is the frame. And that's the diagram of the wheel assemblies. The front wheel assembly is this one at the front, with all the different component parts, spindle, wheel spindle, and studs, and all sorts of bits and pieces. And this is the back one, the disc brake on, and you can see their chain and sprocket. This is what the workshop manual would be for a mechanic to work on the bike, to assemble it and make it work. That's the inside of the engine, the heart and the driving force behind the bike. Without getting too technical, which is the clutch here, and then we've got the gearbox and gear selector and the actual engine itself, and that's a carburetor that helps to make the fuel work and so on. All different parts, different assemblies, different purposes. And of course that one, not so obvious. That's how the thing is wired, all the different wires on the bike in a simplified drawing, and each one's colour-coded. Without this, that bike wouldn't do anything. It might look pretty, but it wouldn't go anywhere. And then you think, okay. I thought of the ingenuity of other creatures on our world, both big and small. And I remembered the ant. And I don't know why, but this vision came into my head. I remember watching a film with my kids only some years ago, I thought. A film called Ants. All about a worker ant called Z and his love interest, Princess Ant Bala. It actually frightened me when I realised how long ago it was. It seems only a little while to me, but it actually came out the year that Ross was born, and he's 17 this year. At the time, my eldest daughter would have been 11, Kelly. Some of you know her. Does anybody remember this? Okay, well, I'm not going to go into the story of it, but in great detail at all, but one of the essences was that at one point, the colony of ants were in trouble. They were at risk of being drowned underground, and they all organised themselves together, closely together. They formed this ball of knitted ants and a strand, and they swung themselves to safety. But it's a cartoon. That couldn't happen really, could it? But what about that? This is a photo of a colony of fire ants organising themselves to cross a pond together. And what about that one? The same type of ant, fire ants again, arranging themselves to cross between two plants. Now it would be impossible for an individual ant alone to have done any of this. Again, look how closely knitted they are together. They've knitted themselves together to form a bridge. And it's amazing what they, a small, minuscule ant, is capable of. Now, I don't know whether any of you have noticed yet where I found God was taking me, but it's ultimately taking us. I'm going to recap. Some of the comments I've used so far are connected and belonging together, forming a closely linked chain, closely bound like wire, bound closer together so that's extremely strong, closely and intricately each and every one has been fitted into place, certainly dry stone walling despite the different shapes and sizes, again tightly knitted together. And then I thought about special closely knit, lightweight, but strong. And then I remembered Psalm 139. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and this applies to each and every one of us. For he created our inmost being. He knitted us together in our mother's womb. Actually quite appropriate on Mother's Day. As in Isaiah 64, verse 8, I'm sure many of you will know this, our Father has taken us as clay, he is the potter, and we're all the work of his hand, and he molds and shapes us all. So like the Bible workshop, sorry, like the bike workshop manual, look at God's Bible workshop manual. He's also the creator of the universe, the heavens and the earth, isn't he? So from small ants right up to the universe, he's the creator. He's put all this together intricately. Let's look at our workshop manual, the workshop manual for us, the human body, in some detail. I'm not an expert on this at all. My wife probably is, and probably Jacqueline and others, but nevertheless, what an intricate mechanism we are. Detailed, complex, a masterpiece, fearfully and wonderfully made. What a work of art, and yet also, what a complex design and engineering skill it must have taken to design each and every one of us and put us all together. Just taking a look at the lower leg assembly, it truly is amazing. But then let us take a closer look even still. Anybody know what that is? Somebody got it right there. It's basically the friction ridges on our human finger. Somebody says fingerprint. It's actually what gives the human fingerprint. And it's unique to each and every one of us. What about this one? That's the human skin under a microscope. Moving on even further, this is a graphic representation of an atom, the basic unit of matter, defining the structure of the elements, made up of three main particles, protons, neutrons, and electrons. They are the building blocks of everything in God's universe. So with all that you've seen this morning, we move on to Romans 12, verses 6 to 8. But just to recap one important part from Richard's verses that he brought last week, in particular, that the members do not have all the same function. So bearing that in mind, Romans 12 verses 6 to 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, then do it cheerfully. Now, this list of spiritual giftings is far from complete. In fact, if you look through Paul's letters, he mentions clearly at least 14 separate giftings. There are only seven here. And in his writings, in many of them, he goes into much more detail than he does here. We'll have some of these giftings from God, and we'll take a brief look at them. So the first one is prophesying, and he says, prophesying, do it in accordance with your faith. Serving, then serve. Jesus came not to rule, but to serve. That's for all of us, having a heart like Jesus. In Mark 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Teaching. Then teach. Encourage, then give encouragement. Giving, then give generously. Lead, do it diligently. Show mercy, do it cheerfully. Paul doesn't go into great detail about these gifts. He just mentions a few. Because the emphasis in Romans 12, if you look at it in context, Paul puts more emphasis on we all have different gifts and different functions, and we should always be humble in using them, but should not be backwards in putting them into practice. Excuse me. The diversity and unity of God's church is illustrated by comparison with the human body. Just as the human body is one with many parts, limbs, or members, so the church itself is united as one, even though it is made up of many members. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27, we hear of the unity and diversity in the body. And it is rather a long section of verses, so I don't intend to put them all up. I'm going to take the important extracts that relate to what God's brought today. But I'll read the whole thing, and I'll pull the parts up that are important. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason again stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If there were one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honourable, we treat with special honour. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment, but God has put the body together, giving greater honour to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern with it. If one part suffers, every part suffers. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Further, in Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13, and also 15 to 16, we hear of unity, maturity, and the body of Christ. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until we all reach... excuse me. Getting the touch dry. I'll read that bit again. So the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So let's look again at those seven giftings. As I said, are but a few of those that God can give us. Skills, talents and abilities, his gifts. Gifts that enable us all to be involved in the building up of his church. To use them effectively, we need to realise that all our gifts and abilities, all of them, come from him. Understand that we don't all have the same gifts, and know who we are and what we do best. That in itself is not always easy. And once we know what our giftings are, to dedicate them to God's service, to his service, not to our success. We need to be willing and prepared to use those gifts wholeheartedly, not holding back anything from his service at all. We also need to know and be prepared for the fact that although we may be aware of our gifts and abilities and think that that is all that there is in our lives, that's all we can do, Remember, like the potter's wheel, God can and will mould us, and he will equip us and empower us to do his work. The gifts and abilities that you may be aware of now may not necessarily be the only gifts that God intends you to use, and that in time he may equip you to do immeasurably more than you can ever imagine. With God, all things are possible, and he may quite easily lead you into something, possibly a completely new territory, something that could be well out of your comfort zone, something that the thought of would be so challenging you may instinctively turn away. You should remember and be ready and open to God's calling upon you. Whatever circumstance he puts you into is to develop and challenge you to step out of the boat in faith and do ultimately whatever he is calling you to do. And I know for a fact there are many in this church who can give their own testimony to that. I would include myself in that. God's gifts differ in nature and in power and effectiveness according to his wisdom in his grace. Not according to our faith, but according to his plans. The measure of faith, or the proportion to his faith, refers to the fact that God will give the spiritual power necessary and appropriate for us to carry out whatever responsibility he gives us to do. We cannot, by our own efforts or our own willpower, stir up more faith to become more effective teachers or servants or whatever. These are God's gifts to his church through you, and he gives us faith and power as he wills. If you put your trust in him, he will guide you. Our role is to be faithful and to look for ways to serve others with whatever God actually gives us. Although it's likely that we may have a number of those gifts, it's difficult that any one person would have them all. So I'm going to tell you a short story. I'm afraid it's back to motorbikes. I'd been working for about 2 years, still living with my mum and dad. I was about 20. I had a motorbike, in fact, I had about second or third motorbike. And in the local newspaper, I found one for sale. And it really interested me. And the price seemed reasonable. And it wasn't far from where I lived. So on the way home from work, I called to see this bike. And had a good look at it. Was impressed. It was in good condition. Took it for a short ride. It was great. So I bought it. Took it home. And it parked at the back of my mum and dad's house. There was no garage there at the time. It was a shed, but it was too big to go into our small shed. So it sat outside at the back with a cover over it. And then I went for a ride on it at the weekend. Got the bike out, got the gear on, rode down the road, out into the open country. 5 gears this bike had got, the one before, and I had only 4 gears. Got up to speed, into 5th gear, and at 50 miles an hour, it jumped out of gear. It wouldn't stay in top gear above 50. So reluctantly, I took the bike back home. My mum and dad were at work. My brother was doing something. He wasn't there. So in the back of my house, I took it apart. I took the gearbox apart. In effect, this part. And to get at it, I had to remove the clutch and casings and covers. And looked at everything. I examined all the component parts. I got a workshop manual, checking it all off. Fine. Put it back together. Couldn't find anything wrong with it. Put oil back in it. Took it down the road. And it jumped out of top gear again. At 50 miles an hour. So I was quite puzzled. I went back home again, and it started to rain. And I thought, I want to get this bike fixed. Nobody in. So I wheeled the motorbike into my mum's kitchen. Thinking she won't be back for 2 or 3 hours, which she wasn't. So I again drained oil out of the gearbox, removed the clutch, all the casings, took every single component part out. And I was scratching my head because I couldn't see anything wrong. There were no worn components. Everything appeared to be there. So meticulously, I laid out all these bits and pieces, one by one, onto newspaper on the kitchen table and checked everything off. And against the instruction manual, I found one thing that was missing. That size. On the main gearbox shaft, there would have been a shim, which is like a small washer. And I brought a washer to illustrate. One washer that size was not keeping that bike in fifth gear. So, I've got a bike in the kitchen that I can't ride. But I've got a cycle. So I cycled to the nearest motorcycle dealer, asked if they got a washer, and thankfully they had. So I bought this washer, cycled back quickly, starting to put the bike back together. I'm halfway through putting it back together, and my mum came home. She was not pleased. That's not the story. But the bottom line was that through just one small, what appears to be insignificant component, that bike would not run properly. I put the new shim in, hurriedly got the thing back together in the oil in, and meekly got the bike and myself out the kitchen and rode it, and it was fine. It was perfectly okay. So the main message from this story is simply that every part, no matter how big or small, strong or weak, has a significant effect on the whole when it plays its part. With it, I could ride it to its full potential. In fact, that bike would do over twice 50 miles an hour easily. But that's another story too. The important thing is when you know your own gifts, then prayerfully ask God how you can use them to build up God's family, his church. Looking at the Romans 12:6-8 again. An example, a sample of some of the gifts that God can give us, quoted by Paul. But the message is, know them and use them. We can't do the work of the church all alone, though. Be thankful for those brothers and sisters whose gifts are actually completely different to yours. Let your strengths balance their weaknesses, and be thankful that their abilities may make up for any shortcomings that you actually might have. Soon, we will be taking what is to all of us a giant step of faith by moving out of this building, almost into the unknown, together. But it will be the beginning of taking many more steps along the path that our God has set for us, together with him, to all be essential parts in the building up of the body of his own church. So if your purpose is to be a washer, don't be a missing washer. We, the body of Jesus' church, we can't reach our full potential without you and your giftings. Our oneness in Christ doesn't take away our individuality. The Holy Spirit has given each and every one of us special gifts. Maybe gifts you've yet to find. But those gifts are there for the building up of his church. We all have God-given gifts, all of us. It's crucial that we use them as the way God intends. So here are some questions for us all to consider. Do you exercise the gifts that God has given you? Could you exercise them more? If you know what gifts you do have, do you look for opportunities to use them, to serve God in whatever sphere you can to build up your church? Your talents are God's gift to you. What you do with them is your gift to God. If you don't know what your gifts are, then prayerfully ask God to show you. Then as you begin to recognize your special area or special areas of service, use your gifts to strengthen and encourage others in the church. Because only together, using each and every one of our God-given gifts, can we truly build up Christ's church here in the Rugeley community. I'd like to call the worship team back up, please. This is building on the image that Richard gave. We are linked together like chains, but there's more to it. And ironically, Alan prayed this morning before we started doing worship practice, and he used the word knitting together. And I've had pictures and all sorts of things going around in my head. And this I tried this morning with the group. Can we try it again, guys? We are knitted together. You just pull gently, Rob and John, and we're strong. We are strong. Don't pull too hard. Sarah, would you step back, please? Although we now, at the moment, do not have one member, pull again, but don't pull too hard, was still strong. It's not broken. And this lets itself easily for someone to come and join us, bringing colour, because none of us have got colour except Sarah. And of course, the other thing is, she's prettier than the rest of us too. This... Okay, so we're knitted together. We have all got our own special places and skills to use. Let's use them.